As we mentioned earlier, we're going to visit with you and probably not preach, but I'm going to share a bunch of scripture. Because if you have your eyes open and if you're looking around and you're seeing what's going on, and I love Christmas, and I mentioned last week I love the lights, I love the decorations, I love all the stuff, but there is someone about Christmas who's sometimes just kind of overlooked.
That's right.
And that does bother me. I mean, I'm not angry about it. I'm not upset about it. Do you ever go to somebody's birthday party and not even recognize it's their birthday? You know, the world has adopted a whole different philosophy of Christmas than what it's really about. And to me, that's sad, because there's so much purpose and so much meaning in Christmas. And you'll hear, well, I don't think he was born December 25th. It doesn't really matter. It's a day chosen to celebrate his birthday, and if he was born in October, we'd probably have the same thing happening. So the fact is simply this, that he was born.
Amen.
Can you agree with me with that?
Yes, sir.
He was born. And he was born for a purpose. And I'm going to show you scripture after scripture this morning that will share what I'm sharing with you. He was born to build a relationship with people who didn't know him and didn't know the Father. Jesus was born to build relationships from an estranged world or people from God the Father. The Bible talks about giving. Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. Go with me to Luke chapter 2. And I'm just going to drop some scriptures on you real quick. Luke chapter 2. Verse number 7, "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to who? All people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, one who delivers, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.'" A gift. A gift. Jesus Christ is a gift from our Heavenly Father to all mankind, everyone. So God looked at the world and decided he was going to give. Now you know the most famous giving verse in the Bible, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he" what?
Gave
his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him, and you're a whoever, should not perish, but have everlasting life. God looked at mankind in a mess, knowing what was needed, knowing how to do it, and gave his Son. The answer to the world's situation for eternity is Jesus Christ. And to build that relationship that he wanted to establish, Jesus was the answer. John 1:14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So not only did Jesus come to build a relationship with the Father, who people had no idea what he was like, he demonstrated the Father to them. When you look at Jesus, when you see what Jesus has done, when you understand the heart of Christ as he dealt with a woman taken in adultery and the woman at the well and standing at Lazarus' tomb and seeing the widow's son brought out of Nain, you see the heart of the Father. Don't ever think, "I know nothing about the Father." Jesus is the perfect imprint of God the Father. And he demonstrated the Father to a world that thought they understood but didn't. And to a people who thought they understood but didn't. Look at Hebrews 2:14 with me. Hebrews 2:14. And the Bible says this: "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same." Jesus shared in flesh and blood. "Likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who hath power of death, that is a devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." I want you to think of this. Jesus came to build the relationship, but he also came to free you from bondage and the fear of death. Come on.
Amen.
How many of you ever had a pain you thought was something that it wasn't? I'm talking about Pastor Farian giving you a headache. How many have ever had a panic over something going on? A couple Wednesday nights ago, I shared how I had a back operation years ago. And then when we moved to Virginia, I tore my back out again. And I couldn't wait to get home because the only thing that had helped me with my back was extra strength Excedrin. So I got back home from Virginia. We were moving to Virginia, Minnesota. I got back to Minneapolis, and the Holy Spirit said, "Don't take it." And then, you know, I listened real good. Then I went and took it. And I woke up a couple hours later and got rid of it all, threw it all up. Next morning, I got up and I was healed. Well, Wednesday night, after church, I went to bed and, oh, I had a backache. Oh, that hurt. And then my legs started cramping. You ever have those midnight cramps when they just tighten up on you? Oh. Then I got one in my foot. Thank you, Shelley. I love the... And so you know what my mind said? Oh, you hurt your back. You really hurt your back. You're in trouble. You won't be able to walk in the morning. Hello? Anybody know what I'm talking about? But I'm walking. Next morning was better than Friday morning. I was thinking, how am I going to serve? You know, you start thinking of things down the line that aren't going to happen. Mm-hmm. That's the devil. He wants you to start getting in that panic zone and in that place. We had a pretty good crowd Friday morning. We had people from Roslyn and all over coming in for breakfast. And if you'd never been there, Friday mornings from 6 till 9:30 or 9:45, we serve a breakfast here most of the time. Until Tony says he's coming, then I cancel it. But anyway, that's how Satan works. You start feeling a pain. You start thinking of something. You start figuring things out, and pretty soon he wants to get you in panic so you can't believe God. And then the outcome is he wants to say, you're dying. Yep. It reminds me of a little girl years ago. Her mom and dad came forward for prayer. And so we're praying with them, and they fall down in the power of God. And the little girl, she must have been three, walked over and looked at him and said, yep, they're dead. I'll never forget that. But Satan wants you to be hopeless.
Yes, that's right.
Just live hopeless. No thought of ever getting out of where you are or doing something or being something. He wants to keep you in bondage. And Jesus came through that relationship with his Father to free us from that bondage. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And so, what does all that mean to us? How many remember, and this is not about giving your, you can take your billfold out and give them to your wife, or women can put their purse on. I'm not talking about giving money, although some of these verses do. But because God gave to us to help establish a relationship with him, he wants us to give to others so they see that relationship in us. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's not always money. You know, I've been blessed to have some people, and I won't tell you who he is, but his first name is James. Who, when my water line breaks and I'm up in Bemidji preaching a pastor's conference, he crawls underneath my trailer and fixes it. And then when it breaks again, he crawls underneath there in the mud and the slop and fixes it again. So we told the trailer it couldn't break anymore because James was tired. Giving. You know, we always think when we talk about giving, we're talking about giving of our money. God is talking about giving of ourselves.
That's right.
And we need to come to that place where we understand. And I understand this scripture is about talking about money, but I want to change the aspect because when we give of ourselves, we're willing to give of what we have. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
When we give of ourselves, we're willing to give what we have. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, let me give you one more verse before I get into this. Look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. Do you ever have lack? Do you ever have a financial issue? Do you ever need something? Do you ever breathe? Look at Romans 8:32. Very interesting verse, and I didn't want to miss this because probably sometime we just read over it. He who did not spare his own son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Do you see that verse? What's lacking?
Nothing.
Freely give us all things. He who did not spare his son, as if that wasn't enough. He adds on to that and adds on all things. Amen. Somebody can say amen.
Amen.
Okay. I love chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians. Because it just kind of narrates in pretty interesting words what God says about us giving. How many of you have ever looked at giving money-wise as I'm going to lose something, or I won't have something, or I'll have lack? Anybody ever do that? I have. I remember one time I'm walking out of the church. We're heading for, I don't know if we're heading for Salt Lake or where we were, and God said, give that person $100. And I thought, God, we got enough to get there, but I'd like to be able to eat when I get there. You know what I mean? So I give him $100. Somebody comes out to me in the car, $200. Pretty good trade. Doesn't always happen that way, but it does sometimes. Hello?
Yeah. That's right.
Larry, you got another offering plate? I'll let people see if it works. Chapter 9, in verse number 6. And I'm tying in this to giving of ourselves, and also I understand that talking about sowing finances, but I say this, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart. Don't anybody talk you into giving something that you're not in your heart. Anybody say amen?
Amen.
This is not an emotional appeal for something. This is what God has placed in your heart to give. Can we say amen? For this I say, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one as he gives, as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now here's the key to all this. How many realize we have to have faith in God? How many realize we need faith in his word? How many realize God does not lie?
Amen.
God doesn't stretch the truth. He just wants us to act upon the truth in faith.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
And God is able to make all grace abound. First of all, he's able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. I like that. Not just money, it's everything you do, you'll have an abundance.
Amen.
Say abundance with me.
Abundance.
Hello. Some of you are looking at me like, oh boy, where's he going? Okay, let me ask you. Are you mature enough to accept this the way God wants you to accept it? Or are you living with the fear of lack? Okay. I don't know what you think. I'm going to go out to the connection and have lunch. Goodbye. Satan wants to get our minds so focused on what we don't have, we don't realize what we do have.
That's right.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
I'll repeat that for you. Satan wants our minds so focused on what we don't have that we don't see what we do have, and we don't thank God for what we do have, and we focus on, I've been shortchanged, and I don't have. It's a little bit like healing. Kirk and I had a very interesting discussion a while back. Every once in a while, we get a good one. It's about the fact that when you're prayed for and God is doing something, proclaim what he's doing, not what he hasn't done.
Amen.
Right.
Hello?
Yes, amen.
We okay?
Yes, sir.
You see, we walk out saying, well, I didn't get healed. Well, what happened? Well, are you 20% better? Are you 50% better? Are you 60% better? Walk on what is happening. Same thing, walk on what God has blessed you with. And walk on what God has promised you. It's amazing. Verse 9, as is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now here's a verse hang on to. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. Look at me. God's not a cheapskate.
Amen.
Hello?
That's right.
He's not cheap.
Amen.
I mean, I've come to the place time after time after time after time where you think, boy, can I give my tithe and still have enough to live on? Give it. Trust God. God, you want me to bless somebody. Can I do that and still live? Bless them. Give of yourself. God, if I go help this person with their car, do I have time for Sherry? If you don't, we'll know about it on Facebook. But anyway, do it, Jason. I just got shot. But you see, we focus on what's not happening instead of what is happening. We focus on what we don't have instead of what we do have. We focus on the part of our body that is sick instead of the part of our body that's well and God's healing. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Are we okay?
Yes, sir.
Go back with me to Luke chapter 6. I hope it's chapter 6. Yep, it is. I got it circled. Whew, that was scary. Giving. Are you ready? Are you sitting on the edge of your chair? Are you full of anticipation? Cool. You're not at a Viking game then. 6:35. Love your enemies. Say that with me.
Love your enemies.
Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the King Most High. For he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you'll be forgiven. Give. Now, don't miss this. Give, and it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. Okay, let's look at this. The character of giving. Number one, love people who don't love you. Fun? No. Productive? Yes. Okay? I know I just lost half of you, but you know, you have to look at things that people don't like you as if they have bad taste. Hello?
That's right.
Okay, love them. The Bible even says, if they need something, lend it to them. But you're not really lending it to them, you're giving to them because you're not expecting anything back.
That's right, amen.
Okay? So if you don't like me, what do you have that I need?
My husband.
Oh, okay. Boy, that didn't take long to turn that around. One minute she's begging for you to come home because she's lonely, and next minute she's giving you away. That's okay, Jason. We'll work on that Tuesday. First thing we do, we treat people right, biblically right. Second thing we do, and the Bible says, be merciful. Be merciful. No, get rid of one sentence. Just get rid of one sentence. I told you so. You ever look at your kids or somebody else and you told them a while back what would happen if they continued on the path, and they continue on the path, and pretty soon you look at them, I told you so, you dirty rat. It's like the mom yelling at her son on the riding lawnmower, if you cut your legs off, don't come running to me. Be merciful. Judge not. Is that a good one?
Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
In building relationships, don't judge.
That's right.
And don't condemn.
That's right.
Every once in a while, a pastor has to learn some shut-mouth grace. Because we all have thoughts, don't we? Mm-hmm. And forgive. Hello?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
You mad at somebody today? Somebody did something wrong to you? Somebody hurt you? You may say, but I can't forgive. I'll tell you something powerful and real. If you ask God to help you, He will.
That's right.
God's looking for you to be willing to forgive. Right. Not necessarily that you can, but He'll help you. And then He says this, and I'm pretty well done. Give, and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom, for with the same measure that you also use, it will be measured to you. Now, I like what the King James says. Will men give into your bosom? How many love to give but hate to receive? I've met people who love to bless people, but they refuse to be blessed by somebody else.
Really?
I'm not that type. I want you to know that. Just in case you were inquiring. But in all seriousness, as you give of yourself, of your mercy, of your love, of the grace of God, of the blessings of God, of Jesus, there will be people who want to give back. And don't rob their blessing by saying, no, I'm not taking nothing. I'm not talking about now you pull somebody out of the ditch and they want to give you a $100 bill or something. I'm not talking about that. There are times we just do charitable acts. But there are also times when God says, take it. I want to show them that they can multiply what they're giving by being generous. We okay?
Yes, sir.
And so, I took 30 minutes to tell you this. To get to this point. Look around over Christmas. Find a need and meet it. Find a hurt and heal it. If there's someone you see that is just destitute or hurting, or somebody that you God puts in your heart, they just need to see that I love them. They just need to see that somebody cares. What a privilege to be used by God just to be givers. And you've been so good. But we're not done yet. It's not that church needs more things to give away. It's just simply the fact you may see somebody, you may meet somebody that's going through a tough time. And we build relationships all through this community by caring. Because when I close my hands on something, I can't open them to receive anything. And God from his throne room wants to pour blessings on his children. And it's just super to be able to receive. So we have more to give. And keep on giving. Because God never runs out.
That's right, amen.
He never runs out.